Today, we are very pleased to have Dr. Rita Sabbat, Assistant Professor from Notre Dame University, Lebanon, here with us today for an interview on the Global Observatory. Dr. Sabbat teaches courses on international institutions, gender, non-government organizations, and development, and was a participant in the International Civil Society Action Network's first regional forum on women's rights, peace, and security for the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia last September. So, Rita, thank you very much for doing this interview. The world watched women across the Middle East and North Africa as the leaders and active participants in the Arab Awakening, or the Arab Spring, as it's known, in 2011. But today, women's presence and voices have retreated to the background. What has happened? What is limiting women's participation in these ongoing political transitions?
When I think of today, I think of today's women's presence and their voices as not having retreated, but as being assaulted. And their continuous attempts in several countries like Egypt to remain at the forefront of this discussion. So I'd like to precipitate by saying that they are still struggling to have their voices heard and their demands met in these transition countries. Some might even argue that they're not even at transition point yet, and that's the argument made clear by some of the countries, that they are still in time of conflict, in time of revolution, because their demands are not being met, and there is this fear of a backlash that we have heard about and discussed in the news, and scholars have discussed. So I think that it's ongoing. I think that in certain transition countries, there is an active presence of women that are trying to ensure that their voices remain heard, that the new governments coming into play, the transition constitution building, will not result in their complete disappearance from the scene and their rights being rolled back. And I think it's yet to be seen or foretold, and hopefully we will continue to be discussing this issue.
What do you think are the most important issues women need to be focusing on at this stage in the political transitions, and what should their next steps be?
I think the focus should be both at a national, regional, and international level, the demand that it be recognized and supported that the struggles that they have been dealing with over the past two decades, the struggles of gender inequality, are directly tied to their security and the security and the stability of the states they belong to and the region they belong to. And I think that is the most concern that is not being discussed, especially in the Middle East, North Africa region, where women's voices on security have never been heard. They've never thought it was their position. I mean, usually when we even talk about political participation, you hear the first comeback is, it's not really a place for women. You know, the women are too clean to be in the forefront of politics and security. So I think that the demand that women's active participation in political parties, their presence and decision-making committees that are not limited just to social affairs or the women's committees, but in hard security measures and that tie to their development, their personal development, is very important.
We're here during the Commission on Status of Women, and the theme of this year's commission meeting is the prevention of violence against women. And I know you're involved in this technical task force that's associated with the Ministry of Social Affairs in Lebanon. What's your assessment of the situation regarding gender-based violence in Lebanon and the efforts to prevent it?
We've been struggling in Lebanon to eliminate gender-based violence since the 90s. The progress that has been made by civil society at the normative level can be seen because now it's discussed. We cannot disregard these progresses that have been made, that the discussion is there, it's vibrant, we can hear it on TV, there's advertisement, we have now listening centers, not enough. But the progress is there. And the work that civil society is doing, non-governmental organizations, the ABAD has a listening center for engaging men, where it's a counseling center for men on eliminating violence against women. And their work with the Ministry of Social Affairs and the International Medical Corps that has developed a manual for doctors, for social workers, for listening centers on how to actually follow up prevention, prosecution, data gathering of violence cases that come in front of them. That's been great progress in moving the struggle to eliminate violence against women forward. However, the challenge remains. The percentages that are estimated are much higher than we want them to be, and more visibility with the state security and establishment of a culture of nonviolence against women and gender-based violence in general is needed.
As a follow-up, given the large and growing numbers of Syrian refugees in Lebanon, it's certainly an issue of increasing local and international concern. What can you tell us about the influx of refugees and the impact on women?
The influx of refugees, Syrian refugees, over the past few months has been incredible. It's been of great concern to Lebanon, who already has a huge number of refugees from the Palestinian community, coupled with refugees that have been coming over for the past years from the Iraqi community, and doesn't have the capacity to deal and to actually take care and provide the services for refugees, 75% of whom are estimated to be women and children, and are experiencing gender-based violence before they crossed the borders, are now experiencing new forms of gender-based violence from within their communities as well as from the receiving community. And all this has the greatest impact on women and children, not only amongst the refugee community, but in the urban and rural communities that they are now being housed in. Because in Lebanon, we do not have refugee camps for the Syrian refugees. They are all living in rural areas amongst the poor that already are experiencing so much struggle. And this can only increase. Increased discrimination, increased inequality will only result in increased forms of violence. So this is of great concern at a national level. ABAD is actually hosting a candlelight vigil on the 15th to stand in solidarity with the Syrian women and children in Lebanon as part of our sisters in humanity that are experiencing this struggle that no human should experience.
Can you now look broadly at the region, and what role do you think the international community can play, particularly around the broad issue of women's rights, peace and security in the Middle East, North Africa, South Asia?
The recommendation that I make is that actually the international community should make it a foreign policy priority. Women's rights and development have never been a foreign policy priority in most states. So when they meet with their counterparts bilaterally or multilaterally, it should be on the agenda through 1325 or other mechanisms. It should be not just a priority, but it should be a necessity that cannot be negotiated away at the expense of society. At the end of the day, the expense of women means the expense of their counterparts as well. And that's their women, men, and children. So I think the international community must realize that the women's rights agenda, development agenda, and security agenda are intricately tied together and cannot be separated for interests or otherwise.
Thank you very much, Rita. Thank you for taking the time to join us on the Global Observatory.
Thank you very much for having me.